Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 22. I'll bring the message in just a few moments, but let me just say a word or two real quick. Something I should have said a while ago in regard to, I got a red light, Brother Jim. Good, thank you. But at any rate, thank you again for praying for us for the trip and for the services. And God did meet with us and blessed and kept us safe. And Lord just blessed in a wonderful way. I do want to remind you of some upcoming events this coming Monday night, tomorrow night. We've got men who've had a burden to pray and have been praying well over a year, well, way back since COVID started on Monday nights. We've got a core group that's very faithful to come. And we prayed in the auditorium to begin with, and then we moved in class and with, the drama practices and everything else. But we've come back into the auditorium. We want to bathe this building in prayer on Monday nights. I want you to come. Some of the guys hadn't got to come or hadn't come. We meet at 9 o'clock. You just come on with your work clothes on, and just come on and come in. And what we do, and I told them when we first started, now we did not come to see how long we can pray or how loud we can pray. We came to touch heaven. And so we get together. When we come in the auditorium, we're just going to share. And if we have any spoken requests, then we just disperse in this auditorium. And we begin praying. And when you're through praying, you can slip out and go home. After we've had a season of prayer, one of us, usually me or Brad or somebody that I ask to do, will have like a closing prayer, but that don't mean you've got to quit praying. If you want to stay, if you want to pray longer, you're welcome to stay. But what I'm saying is you come and you'll determine how long you pray and how long you stay. So you come on in, and if you can, just come on, some of the guys who hadn't been, run over here. We 9 o'clock. We'll get started at 9 o'clock. And you pray, meet with us. And I'm convinced that it's the Lord that hears and answers our prayer. You pray as long as you want to, but you just obey God. But if you pray one word or two words and it get to heaven, that's what makes the difference. Amen. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible said he went down to his house justified. God don't have to have a lot of words. He has to have a whole heart. You just give him your heart and he'll make a difference in that. So come pray with us on Monday night. And we'll meet in here. Like I say, we'll just disperse and pray, and then we'll slip out as you feel led to go. If you want to stay till we have the closing, which most of the time is around 25, 30 minutes, you're welcome. But just come pray with us. And then on Wednesday, our wonderful services on Wednesday morning have been starting. It's doing great. We've had over 52 times this year in the morning services, and last week we had about 50. And so Wednesday morning, 11 o'clock, if you'll come, we'll begin a new series of studies. We finished up the Lord's Prayer. Don't think I'm going to continue on the Sermon on the Mount. I'll do that maybe on Sunday morning, Sunday night. But you come and we'll start a new Bible series. Start at 11, I'm through at 12 or 5 after. And then we go back and have a wonderful lunch together. And so you come be with us. Invite your neighbors and friends. You don't have to be old or senior like me. But you're welcome to come. If your schedule would work better if you came on Wednesday morning, you're certainly welcome. All of our community is welcome. We invite all those in the media audience to come that can, and anybody you invite from the community. We have quite a few coming from just in the community now. And then also ask you to be praying for Fan the Flame Revival meeting in February over at Burnell, where Brother Brad was just preaching this morning. And it will begin on Sunday night and go through Wednesday night. I'll be preaching on Sunday night. And Brother Cameron Cloud from Central Baptist and Brother Tom Wagner. And then on Wednesday night, Zane Fischel. And they're right here at us. And so I think what we're going to do, we're going to try to have at least our Wednesday night. So I know we got Awanas, and Awanas will be here. And you do just your regular thing, whatever. But I think we may move our Wednesday night prayer meeting over there. I don't think we've done that. But to support that meeting, and it's not that far. You just run right over there. If you need direction, we'll tell you. And Brother Zane will be preaching, but I think it'll be a great encouragement to them. But more than that, we want God to bless. We want God to move in revival. I feel a little something this morning. You feel something in here this morning? Amen. I love it. Praise God. I like it when He shows up and when you're blessed and rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I think I saw Miss Connie Bird come in. Didn't I see Miss Connie? There she is right there. Thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Miss Connie is able to be back in church. And for these many, many years, she's been the caregiver for her precious husband, Brother Bobby. But she told me she's so excited about getting back in church. I'm glad she's here. And the rest of you, that's a good-looking crowd all over there. Lamont and Trudy's crowd's all over in there. And Christina and Russell and them right here, some of our newest members, from Maria right there from last week, join with us. But I appreciate them and being down near the front. Amen. And thank God for you. Amen. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Amen. You have your Bibles open, please. And I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God. I think it's all the quick announcements I want to remind you of. Aren't you glad you're here? Don't you just feel good this morning? Amen. I'm going to tell you, I thank the Lord for the blessing of the Lord. 1,411 miles. We drove on left Thursday, went down and came back, got in back midnight last night from the funeral. But we didn't get to sleep. Regina slept a little bit. She rested a little bit. But we just had a good time of fellowship, listened to gospel music all the way down, all the way back. And the Lord was good to us, and I'm thankful. And you pray for the family. They're gonna do well, and pray for that church. I had them in the service to stand if they had been saved under the ministry of Tim Saunders. And there was a good number. I'm gonna say 18 or more, probably, maybe 20. That stood up in that service. And I thought, how many times have I talked to Brother Tim and he felt so discouraged that he pushed and prayed and just didn't seem like he could get people to come. But I knew he was a witness. He sowed seed. And then the second question I said was this, if you've been here and Brother Tim was a blessing to you and you grew in the Lord because of him and you're being acquainted with him, did you know that everybody who was not already standing, everybody in that service stood up? And I tell you, his wife just broke and wept, and it was a blessing, amen, to see what God had done. And you may not think God's a blessing in your life or your ministry, but I know He is, and He's using you. And that witness you give, a witness is never wasted. And God said, my word won't return void. You just keep on witnessing for Jesus, amen, and share the gospel every chance you get. Pray for me that I do that. I want to have more boldness or know how to do better. Amen. About that. And God's good. You have your Bible open. I've been preaching to you on First Things First during the month of January. I hear people say from time to time, well, it's a matter of your priorities. Some people I say, I don't have time to do this, don't have time to do that. And then somebody come back with this kind of cliche statement. Well, it's a matter of priorities. You know, you get your priorities right, you'll do this, that, and the other. Well, if there's any realm in which we ought to have our priorities right, it is in the realm of our spiritual life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Paul said they were called Christians first. We're Christians first. And so regardless of where we are or what time it is or what situation we're in, we're Christians first. It ought to affect our political life. It ought to affect our vocational life. Every part of our life ought to be permeated with the fact that we're Christians and we live like Christians. We don't live like the world. We love people. We care about people. We demonstrate the love of Christ. And then I preach to you on first fruits. And Ms. Barbara's having to work this morning. She's been so sick, she hadn't been able to come, and she came. And the first Sunday she came, I preached on first fruits. And I told Brother Dwayne, I said, she might not come back anymore. She didn't come back this morning, but she's working this morning. He said, that's not the reason. Amen. But you ought to honor the Lord. I mean, the first check you write. First fruits, and that's what he said. We honor him with our substance, with an increase, and we honor him with that first fruits. Amen. Thank God for it. Now, I want to look at one last thing, and there's so many I could deal with, but I felt like the Lord have us do this. In Matthew chapter 22, I call your attention here. They have questioned our Lord, and they ask him a question. Sometime, if you notice back in verse 35, it says they're tempting him. They're trying to entrap him. Into saying something for him to evaluate or say something that they could be critical, because they were like the modern day media. they'll twist everything. We've had two or three occasions of where we've had media people to come out to talk to us about certain situations. I won't talk with them. I will talk with them personally, but not anything on camera, anything else, because I know how they are. They are twisted and make you say anything they want you to say. But the scribes and Pharisees were that way. They were going to twist everything he said. But they asked him this question, verse number 36 of Matthew 22, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Notice what he said. You're to love the Lord with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. And in verse 39, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you hold your place there. I want to share two other scriptures with you. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we have this wonderful truth that we just heard Kylie sing so wonderfully about. We love Him because He first loved us. And then this challenging and convicting verse in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." The first love, He first loved us. And He said, you're to love the Lord and your neighbor. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I have been so blessed already just to walk in during the Sunday school hour. Our Father, to greet the friends who were here in the auditorium Bible class and to listen to Brother Barry, God, to teach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, and how our heart was blessed this morning as we looked again at the incarnation of our wonderful Lord. Lord, we lift before you this morning so many of our church families who are not able to be here in person. I trust they have been blessed by the Sunday school hour, by the singing already. And God, we ask your blessing on them. We pray, God, you'd minister grace. Lord, I know how Mitchell and Sylvia would love to be here, and I hope maybe they have the means to watch the services. We pray for them. And again, for Bobby and Lee, and Lord, for so many others that are not able to be here. We lift again Brother Jimmy Johnson's mama. God, I pray you bless her and Serena's mom as well and others. Lord, we ask, God, you'd bless. Now, Lord, get glory. Lord, I'm thankful I can bow before you this morning and acknowledge that there's no good thing in me. But, God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. Thank you for calling and thank you for your anointing. And I pray, God, that you'd speak this morning. Please don't let a boy or girl, man or woman, leave this building without knowing Jesus Christ, no one in the media audience to hear the message and not know Christ. And God, your people be helped and blessed. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you on this, first things first, and I'll preach to you this morning on love first. We love Him because He first loved us. He said, you'll love the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And then the challenging verse that I gave to you in Revelation, where he's talking to that church and it says they have left their first love. Now, what is that first love? It is our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law. Basically, what he's saying is this, if you will love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, the rest of the commandments will be fulfilled almost automatically if you love. You're to love as He loved. You're to do that. You're to love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. That means with your whole person. You're to love the Lord. You're to love Him. What does it mean to love Him? We first of all love the Lord. I'll add some few little things to it. But he said the first thing is you're to love the Lord. Now, can I say that without any problem? Yes, you can too. I love the Lord. I hear people say it all the time in testimony. I hear people say that on media. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And it's easy to say, But is it in fact a reality? Do you love Him with your heart? Is it a heart situation? Has He done something inside of your heart to where you love Him? Do you love Him with your soul? That is, with all of your being, with all of your emotions. And do you love Him even with your mind? Do you love Him? Well, love in this sense, in the Greek text, is always an action verb. What I mean by that, it's not a state of being. It's not static. You know, Brother Don Lyons, is he in here? There he is over here. He changes from the morning to the night. He's over there. Brother Don come in the other day and he said, Brother Billy, he said, do you know what happened in the garden? I said, what? He said, Eve asked Adam, do you really love me? And he said, who else is there? I heard a fellow say one time to about his wife, I said, you ought to tell your wife every now and then you love me. My wife said, amen. You ought to tell your wife every now and then that you love her. He said, well, I told her the day we got married. I ain't changed my mind yet. But I said, she needs to know that. But always in the Greek, the love is action. It means expressive. You express that. We love Him because He first loved us. How did He express that love to us? His life for mine. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But Christ said, I've come to give my life a ransom. And He gave. It is expressive. He did something because of His love. Because He loved us, He gave to us. That love in me and you, if it's real and genuine in the first place, it has to be ignited. That is not natural. The natural man does not receive the things of God. The Bible said, there's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. You say, well, I know people that are seeking God. Well, the Bible says it in their heart, there's none that seeketh God. No, not one. Not in the natural state. The only time a person begins to seek God is what He said. No man comes to the Father but by me, and no man comes to me except the Spirit of God draw him. When the Spirit of God begins to work in your heart and life, then you'll have an appetite or an interest in the things of God. And if you're here this morning and you say, Brother Billy, I've gone for years and I hadn't thought anything about it, but here lately I begin to think about it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's not natural. That's supernatural. That means the Holy Ghost of God is beginning to deal with your heart and to draw you. Love for God has to be ignited. It's not natural for a human being to love God. We are naturally self-pleasing. We are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We're without God, without hope in the world. But to love Him, it has to be initiated. It has to be ignited in us. And what does it say? It said, we love Him now because He first loved us. He loved us to die for us, but He loved us to draw us to Himself. He loved us first. When you were unlovely, and when I was unlovely, He loved us before the foundation of the world. And when we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us according to the Scriptures. Somehow, in our human way of thinking, we think we've got to do something to appease God, or at least to please God, or to make some kind of gesture to where He would be willing to save us. But that's not it at all. He's already initiated that. He's already began the process. He gave Himself a ransom. He paid your sin debt because He loved you. And the Holy Spirit of God has to ignite in you that drawing of the Holy Ghost of God to where you'll love Him. The only reason I love God this morning standing here is because He loved me and gave Himself for me, and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, He quickened me and made me alive and shed abroad in my heart by the Spirit of God the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's true of you, say amen. Amen. If you love Him this morning, it's because He loved you first. It's because He did the work first. He's worked in you. And you say, well, Brother Bill, I don't love Him like I ought to. Here's what you ought to say. You ought to say, God, help me. God put in my heart. You said you would shed abroad in my heart the love of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, but not only must that love be ignited, it's got to be started somehow. But the love he's talking about is an inclusive love. It's not a love partially. To obey partially is sin. To love partially is sin. If you have a husband or a wife and you say to them, I love you 6 days a week, which day do you not love them? You say, that's kind of a ridiculous question. Yeah, because love has to be inclusive. You love people. You love them whether they are right or wrong. You love them whether they are everything's going well or what. You love them. You just love them. And you love the Lord. It has to include all of your emotions, all of your heart, all of your will. And you love Him. It is inclusive. Remember what the Bible said about our Lord? He so loved the world. God loved the whole world. He set His love on us, and He loves the whole world. He gave His Son to die for the whole world. That love's not reciprocated back to Him all the time. But He loved us, and His is an inclusive love. He loved us. We're to love, first of all, if he has His love in us, and if it is an inclusive love, we love Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. It's not something you try to do. It's not something you wish you could do. It's something that you do. You understand what I'm saying? It's born with that natural instinct, supernatural instinct to love God. You're drawn to Him, connected to Him, because He first loved us. But then He teaches us this. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you should love one another. Love first. You love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Love first. You're to love one another. That is the body of Christ. You love Christians. And you have to do that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, love. The work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life is love. And He calls you to love Christians, love to be around the house of God. I question if a person is saved or not, if they say, I love God, but they don't love to be around the people of God. They don't love people. I tell you, one of the things I know that draws people into this fellowship is that they sense the closeness and the love that you have for people. I said from the very get-go, 26 years ago when I came as to be here, people will not remember long what I say, but they'll never forget how they're treated in this place. And if they feel welcome, and if they feel the presence of God, and if they feel the love of God, they'll be here. They'll stay. They want that. They need to feel that love. They need to feel that closeness. And I'm thankful that this church is a ministering church. And I'm not being just bragging on you today, because I hear it from people outside of our fellowship. I hear it from preachers who come during camp meeting. We've never seen a group of people who love like your people love, like the people in this church love, who have a servant's heart. We've never been around that. And so many, many churches, you don't feel it. And you ought to thank God every day for what God's put in our hearts, that we would love one another. You know what He said about disciples? What is it that people in the world could recognize you? How would they know that you're a Christian? He said this, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Wouldn't you think it'd be something different than that? No, it's that love. Do you remember when Lazarus died and at the tomb of Jesus, he wept, and his enemies said, behold how he loved him. They saw his love. And when they see your love, they know you're a disciple of the Lord. Love first. Love one another with all of our faults, with all of our mistakes, with all of our weird, quirky personalities. Love people. Love them. There's people that don't even like Bojangles, and I love them. Love them. You love them. And you love one another. I'm going to tell you, there's people outside the church, and do you know that they hear about every little fuss and every little contention goes on in the church? They hear people all the time complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining about the other, complaining about this person at church. And what? Listen, the Bible said we're not to speak evil one of another, and certainly not outside. If you go to a person and talk to them, that's what the Bible says. But if you love one another, you love first. Love Jesus first, love God first, love the Lord first. And then he said you'll love the brethren. If you love Jesus, you not only need to love him in its inclusive, you love him not only like he loves, but you love what he loves. And certainly he loves not only the saints, but he loves the lost. And you and I who are in the church, you need to love lost people, have a burden to see them saved. The Bible said the goodness of God leads us to repentance. You love people. They can dispute you and argue with you about Bible doctrine, but they have no answer for love. It's that weapon that they cannot pull up a shield against. That's that weapon that they cannot disprove. And if you got real genuine love and concern for them, they know it. They may not acknowledge it. They may not appreciate it to start with. But I'm going to tell you, I know how it works. When they walk away from you and they're by themselves, they say, "Wow, I can't believe they acting like that. How could they care about me?" But the Lord's the same way. He loves us in spite of us, and thank God for that. But then he does this. The Bible said Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love first. Love first. You love Christ first. You love the brethren. You love lost people. But then you have to love what Christ loved. And if you do that, you will love the church. He loved the church and he gave himself for it. He died for the church. The Bible said that on the first day of the week they came, and the resurrection Sunday, the believers from that time forward gathered on the first day of the week to worship the risen Lord. That's why we worship. Have you ever thought about it? You never hear them say on television about any events that Sunday is the first day of the week. What do they say? It is the weekend. It's the weekend. Weather report. Let's look at our weekend report, Saturday and Sunday, the weekend. But the first day of the week is Sunday. And that's the first day. The world's turned it completely around. They think it's the last day of the week. But it's the first day of the week. And we ought to honor the Lord on the first day of the week. That's why the New Testament church met on the first day of the week. That's why Paul instructed them upon the first day of the week, let every man lay by him in store an offering to the Lord as God's promised you. They gave their gifts and offerings on the first day of the week, on the Lord's day. He admonishes them in the book of Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. They gathered on the first day, but even in that early days of the church, there were some who kind of got to where they wasn't coming back together to worship. We've got folk on the media right now watching us online that if their bodies would allow them, they'd be here. And I've been where I've watched on the internet, had to watch for sometime days or weeks, couldn't get to church because of sickness or whatever. And I so appreciate the E-team, but it is just not the same as being in the house of God and feeling what we feel when we are here. The Lord knew that. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more you see the day approaching. Sunday is the Lord's day. We've made it a play day, but it's the day we ought to keep in mind. And Sunday ought to be a priority for you to be in the house of the Lord. Now, am I against people going on vacations, doing other things? No. The Lord said, you come apart. But on the Lord's day, wherever you are, you worship. If you're like me and Brother Barry and LaVon and some of them, you carry a pretty good-sized church with you everywhere you go. I preach at a lot of churches smaller than our 25 when we get together. But you know what? Wherever you are, he said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And so you can worship. It's not like meeting with your home church, but you can gather to worship. He wants you on the first day of the week in some place to worship. I was thinking about it last night driving up the road. I was praying about this morning service and everything, and I was thinking about that in my heart. That little phrase, he said this, upon that where two or three gathered together, there am I in the midst. I'm looking around this congregation. There's some of you that in 26 years, you've never missed a service unless you were sick, unless you had to be out of town for work, or you were out of town on a vacation somewhere and you did that. But every time you possibly could, you've been in every service here. But very few of us could say that I've been in every service this year in my home church. Very few. But did you know that every Sunday, the Lord's here? He comes every Sunday. He's always here. He said, where you're gathered together in my name, there am I. He doesn't miss. I'm glad he's here. Every service you can have an encounter with God. And if we don't, it's our fault. We ought to worship him. Love first. And we love the church. If you love the church, and I don't know, Brother Barry did something with that clock. It runs fast. It really, and it does. Brother Barry looks up. He's that clock's going fast. Let me give this real quick. How do I know if I love my Lord? And how do I know if I love my brothers? And how do I know if I love the church? If I love the church, number one, I'll be identified with it. They were called Christians first. And if a lot of time I start conversations to talk with people about the Lord sometimes, I say, do you have a church home now that you're attending? And I always say it that way. Do you have a church home that you're attending now? Because some of them have a church home, but it was 100 years ago when they joined and they considered that church home. But do you have one you're attending now? Now. Because if you are a Christian, you ought to have a church home. You ought to have a body of believers that you say, this is my church. This is my church. Now, we have people who visit for some length of time, and they consider us their church. And I tell people, and they'll tell you, that if they come visiting and if they are saved and they know the Lord, I tell them, you pray about it. And when God puts it in your heart, we'd love to have you as a member. But until then, you can count me as your pastor if you need a pastor while you're in this interim time. But just as soon as God puts it in your heart, you ought to be just like Russell Marie last week. You say, this is us. We identify. We are members of Benson Grove Baptist Church. And let me just tell you a little something. There's some people who love this church and attend and everything, but I've often wondered how to handle this question. If they're out and they say, we want you to come over to church. And, you know, we love the choir, love Brother Brad, love the singing, got great Sunday school class, and we just have good fellowship and everything else. And if they ask you, well, are you a member? And you say no, how do you answer that? If it's so good, how come you don't want to identify with it? How come you don't want to say, I'm a member of Benson Grove Baptist Church? And I'm encouraging you, does it put any stars in your crown? Not necessarily. But I'm just saying there's something about being identified with the body of Christ, and particularly with a home church. The word church means ecclesia. It means a called out assembly. I'm glad he saved us out of the world. I'm glad he called us. He saved us. But he called us out to put us together in a body, but also to assemble. Forsake not the assembly yourselves together. And if you love the church, you will identify with it. If you love the church, you'll get involved in it. Church is not a spectator sport. You come here to worship the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, I love it when people just plug right in. I mean, they get started from the get-go. I could call names right now of people who started and got... In fact, we've had folk who got to visit and they started helping in Awanas and helping this, that, and the other before they ever actually joined. But I'm going to tell you, there's things to do around here. But if you love the church, get involved in it. Oh, listen, get back there to Sunday school class and everything. We started a church down in Florida one time, and I had people in Sunday school. I taught the little preschool kids in Sunday school, and I loved it. I loved it. There's somewhere for you to serve, and if you'll get in and serve the Lord, get involved. If you love the church, you'll invest in it. If you love the church he loved, you'll invest in it. I was quoted this morning for Brother Brother came to preach, and he gave some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. God gives gifts to churches, gives gifts to people. because he's investing in it. Did you know that God has invested in this building? Did you know that God paid for this land before I ever got here? And the community in general said to the group of people across the road, an old building, y'all won't never be able to buy that piece of land. First of all, she won't sell it. You're sitting on it. And then they said, if you do it, you can't pay for it. It's paid for. I paid for it in less than a year. God did. This building right here, 24,000 square feet in this building. Did you know before we ever borrowed a dime, $440,000-something was given by this little group of people to own the building itself before we ever borrowed one dime to finish it? Where'd that come from? I don't know. It ain't many people around here. And the gifts were not huge, humongous gifts, but God people gave. And God did that. Wow, this is His church, and He invests in it. Why is it that God has sent so many gifted people here? Why didn't God send Brother Gary, who leads our Bible Institute and has all that previous training as a college professor and everything else? Why did God put him here? God's in the investment business. He sends in people that are talented, amen? And we see them in our E-team and in other ministries, children's ministry, everything. And if you love God, God will invest in this ministry. He'll send the people, and He'll send the money. But the truth of the matter is, kind of like that fellow stood one time. He said, I want to tell y'all a little secret. He said, God's got all the money we need to pay for this new building. The problem is, His money's in your pocket. And but if you love the church, not only will you get identified with it, not only will you get involved in it, but you will invest in it. You'll invest in the work of God. And I'm going to just tell you, and I'm not trying to, I'm just telling the Bible truth. He said, if you give, it'll be given unto you. You cannot outgive the Lord. I'm just telling you. Brother Tom Gillen's preached some of the greatest messages in this pulpit in our camp meeting that you'll ever hear. And if you don't come be in the morning services, shame on you. But Brother Tom, boy, God just gives him such insight. And he made so many statements I've heard people repeat over and over again. I was looking to see if James and Opal are back this morning. Pray for them. They've been battling COVID. But Brother James, boy, he put it in his heart when Brother Tom preached that time. And he said, things happen, but they don't just happen. So many little things like that. But Brother Tom Gillum said one time in a preaching a message, and he was talking about being faithful in your giving. He said when him and Beth started and he left his little church and went into evangelism, he said he had two revivals in a year. The first year had two revivals. Full-time evangelist preached two revivals in a whole year. She was teacher in the kindergarten program. And he said, it was tight. He said, but we always gave. And then we started giving more and more. Then we started giving to people who had need. And he said, the truth of the matter is, I forget the time frame. But he said, in about 3 years, just trusting God and preaching revivals, we gave ourselves out of debt. We gave ourselves out of debt. They gave and gave and gave, and they learned that God would give and give. Now, listen to what he said now. This is not me. This is the Bible. He said, if you'll bring the tithes and offering, I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing that you're not able to receive. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. He said, just try it. If you love, you invest. He loved you. He put the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, gave you a Bible. He invested in you. If you love the church like He loves it, you do what it said in the book of Revelation, Spirit of the bride say, come. If you love the church, you invite others to come. Bring others into the house of God. You see that throughout the New Testament. When somebody met Christ, they almost automatically brought others to Him. If they got healed, they went and got everybody they knew that was sick. If they got saved, they went and got lost people and brought them to Him. And if you're saved and you love the church, you will get involved in it, you will invest in it, and you invite people to it. You'll bring people to the house of God. Get them in under the sound of God. Let them get around this fellowship. They won't be disappointed. They'll be blessed. I'm through. Except for one thing. Look over to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't do y'all like I do. I get to smelling them tacos on Wednesday morning, I shut her down right quick. They may have to invent something from Breeze called Bojangles, and y'all start spraying at about 11:55. Love first. Love first. First things first, love first. Love the Lord. Love one another. Love the things He loves. Love the church. Love the lost. But then you must love not only what He loved, but love as He loved. And as I was praying about this, thinking about this, this passage came to mind. I'm only going to read it. You listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Paul is expressing this, but it's the Holy Spirit of God speaking through him. And if this is the way we ought to live, it's the way Christ lived. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, the word charity is love that gives itself away. It is self-sacrificing love. It's the love that He gave us, and we love as He loved. He said, if I have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. And thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love, charity, verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, and then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm known. Listen to the last verse. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, unselfish love, or love that sacrifices, or love that gives itself away. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, love. Love first. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost right now will do what I cannot do. It's impossible for me in any form or fashion to do what You would do. Dear Holy Spirit of God, You can draw men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus. And I pray this morning, God, that You'd do that. I pray right now already in the media audience or in this building, there's somebody that, God, You've touched their heart. They felt lonely, they felt unloved, and they felt that nobody cares. But Lord, this morning, the Holy Ghost of God has whispered that You care. Jesus cares. Jesus loved you. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, I pray this morning they'd respond to that love by receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. I pray, God, this morning for God's people. I know, Lord, that every believer who's been saved by the grace of God has experienced Your love because we love You because You first loved us. And the Holy Spirit of God has put in our heart the love of God. I pray, God, that we'd allow the Spirit of God to work in us and through us and that we'd love first, that we'd love the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, that we'd love our neighbor as ourselves, that we'd love the brethren, that we'd love the church, we'd love Your word, we'd love lost souls. God, I pray You'd help us. Lord God, help us that love would be active, positive, demonstrated. Lord, if we love you, we'll be faithful to you, faithful in our time and our talents and our tithe. We'll be in the house of God every time we can to be faithful. Upon the first day of the week, we start our week by being in your house with your people to worship. And God, this is your people. This is your place. And God, I pray that you'll do this morning what you want to do in the hearts of every believer and every lost person.